The people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So all the people, they were looking for a Messiah. They knew to expect one. It was in the air. It was all anyone talked about. And they wondered whether John might be the one. Now, it's hard to find a passage of Scripture that more aptly describes our world today. Messiah is not a word that we use quite as much as maybe Scripture does. Sometimes we talk about somebody having a Messiah complex. That's relevant. We usually use other terms, though. Instead of Messiah, we might say something like superhero. Marvel and DC have been making bank with their superhero movies in recent years, each one bigger and more extravagant than the last. I frequently comment to my family about how ridiculous I think it is when every episode, whether it's a Marvel movie or a new series of Doctor Who episodes, can never be just about making life a little better for somebody or maybe overcoming a personal challenge. Instead, they all have to top each other in being about the existence of the entire universe or the destruction of time itself. And so how many movies are there that are not about the hero who changes the world as well as saving the day? So back when the original Matrix movie came out, I didn't see it in person, partly because I didn't have a lot of cash for tickets, but also because I was suspicious of all the hype. If it gets that much press, it can't be that great. But I did see it later, and I found it entrancing. I especially loved its bold use of theological language and ideas, making explicit that which the other movies hid behind masks and capes. The Matrix was all about the one who had been foretold by the Oracle. A person who seemed ordinary and unexceptional, but who would turn out to wield unthinkable power. And thus, this hero would bring peace. And peace, of course, is pretty much always defined as victory against our enemies. And so you can take all the darkness and the violence of the Matrix, as well as all the hopes and the expectations of the Matrix, and if you put them together, you might find you have a pretty good retelling of the prophet Isaiah from the Bible. And so today, right up to this day, superhero movies continue to draw in audiences like never before. And their boldness, their audacity in imagining these superhuman people has bled over into other areas of life, into sports, and into politics, and even into church. And so we're out there looking for heroes, and whenever anyone is willing to put on that mantle, to wear the cape and the spandex, we as a society tend to be ready to embrace and to celebrate that person, because then we can project all our own hopes and fears and insecurities onto them. We, humankind, seem to have these broad, desperate needs that leave us vulnerable to believing the charlatans, the liars, the manipulators, if only they'll tell us what we want to hear. We hunger and thirst for resources, right? For power, for military supremacy, for security, for vindication, for assurance that we're in the right. As individuals, we hunger for wealth and for security and for respect, because we hope that these things will make it possible to fulfill our deeper needs for intimacy and love and for approval. In our gospel reading today, the people coming to John were looking for all those same things. They were looking for a superhero. Now, because what John was doing in the desert was baptizing, we tend to pigeonhole the people who were listening to him as religious seekers. But for John's audience, there was no distinction between the personal and the religious and the state. The struggle of faith was the struggle of our God versus your gods. The Roman occupiers were a religious problem. And the hopes that the people had, those hopes that were built on a long line of prophets with Isaiah at the center, these were hopes for freedom. There was a military solution to be had. And that solution, they figured, would be achieved once the Messiah, that divine superhero that had been foretold by the prophets, finally showed up and effected the end of Israel's oppression. Now, as it happens, rebellions often began out in the desert, and that's where John liked to operate. So maybe he would be the one. But as you heard this evening, John quickly tells the people, no, you don't understand. You don't know what's going on yet. John warns the people not to pin their hopes on him. He doesn't say, yes, I'll be everything you want me to be. He says, no, you need to wait. Because the Messiah is going to be so much bigger and more powerful than he is that John won't even be worthy to act as the Messiah's valet. Not only will the Messiah be different and better than John, but his baptism, his induction into his community, will be vastly different as well. Because that baptism will not happen just with water, but with water and fire. A whole different level of power. In other words, this coming superhero is not just going to change the world, not just going to readjust the geopolitical balance a little bit. That is too small a thing. Instead, this coming superhero, the Messiah, is going to be working on a whole different order of magnitude, and his work is going to be about changing you. You and me. The coming Messiah will drown you, not just in water, but in the Holy Spirit. And you will be immersed in God's Spirit, and it will feel like fire. Fire, in John's little parable, is used to burn away the impurities, the dead weight, the things that hold us back and distract us from the genuine work of God in our lives. It burns away the capes and the spandex and the pinning our hopes on someday, somewhere, someone, some achievement, some job, some bank balance, some retirement. The chaff is all the things that Israel thought a Messiah might be, hoped and dreamed that a Messiah might be, the things that we want a Messiah to be, but which God did not actually intend for Jesus to be. And so the fire that comes with baptism into Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, is a fire that hurts, but it's a fire that leaves behind something clean and pure and ready to encounter God. And this is what we witness as we listen to our gospel reading today, as we hear about Jesus being baptized. This is the encounter with God that Jesus shows us in his baptism. It's as if Jesus is demonstrating, this is how it goes down. This is what's supposed to happen. Jesus says, follow me. Do it this way. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. Notice what happens here. Jesus is baptized. Jesus prays. And Jesus encounters God, who says to Jesus three things. God says to Jesus, one, mine. You are my child. Two, beloved. I love you. Three, delight, approval. That's what I feel about you. Intimacy, love, and approval. These are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. These are what happens when Jesus claims that Spirit in baptism and opens himself to it in prayer. Friends, this is the work that we are about here at church. Some of you may know the name Howard Thurman. He was once the dean of the chapel at Boston University. He was also a canon of the Episcopal Church of St. John the Divine in New York City. And he offered this summary of the work that God does in a person. He said, through prayer, meditation, and singleness of mind, the individual's life may be invaded by strength, insight, and courage sufficient for their needs. Dear ones, you are not going to find the superhero you were looking for in your lover's house, in the movie house, or even in the White House. If you are looking for help finding a superhero, a savior, a messiah, you need to come to the church house. Christians, we gather to claim God's promises. And God has promised a messiah, but not necessarily the messiah that you were looking for. It's not a messiah who will make you rich or powerful or good looking. Instead, it is a Messiah with the power to burn away the things that are eating you from the inside. Those secondary desires and obsessions that distract you from God. And so to liberate you, to experience the things that you long for most deeply. God has claimed you as God's own in baptism. God loves you. God delights in you. Intimacy, love, and approval are the gifts of the Holy Spirit that await every believer who will truly depend on God and set aside everything else. This is God's invitation to you and to me today.